Hello everybody, welcome back. This is the third video for the first session of the Exploring Theology course, Who is God? In the last video, we were looking at things like our sources for doing theology, our ingredients, as it were. And we were looking at things like scripture, the importance of scripture. We were looking at tradition and reason and experience and different understandings of reason and experience. And we were also thinking about what role worship plays in shaping our understanding of who, of God, of answering this question, when answering this question, who is God? Now, in this video, we're going to go back to the overarching question for this first session, who is God? And one of the things I want to do here is draw your attention to the fact that, well, let's put it this way. When, if you think back in the day, when you were at school and there was religious education, or divinity, depending on your sort of, when you went to school, so on and so forth, you might have done O-levels, you might have done GCSEs, so on, okay? When we were talking about God then, one of the things we're probably you might remember is that we would talk about the whatness of God, as it were. Like, what is God? Well, God is all-knowing, everywhere, and so on. Oftentimes they use some words like omni, so omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, that kind of thing. And so God is all the omnis kind of thing. This isn't the approach that we're taking here. We touched on that when we were sort of exploring that initial question, who is God? And we were talking about the characteristics, the qualities of God. That's more the sort of old school, traditional kind of way, perfectly valid, but it's not the route that I'm wanting us to take in this Exploring Theology course, because I think you're going to see as it goes along that this approach helps us in all sorts of ways. So instead of thinking about the, as it were, the whatness of God, I want us to focus on the who. Ness of God, the who is God. And when we talk about who, underpinning that is a question of identity. This is one of the big things here. It's just like when we say who is somebody, we're asking, well, what's their identity? Who are they? So let's get going with this and just build it up step by step, okay? So the first thing I want us to do is think about, well, how do we go about identifying somebody? You know, what do we use? What are the different ways that we can identify someone? Yeah, different approaches like that. So I'm going to put the question up on the screen. Yes, here we go. So this is the question. Notice I've put the who in italics here. So who is God? So questions of identity, okay? So moving on to where I want us to go with this. How do we know someone's identity? Yeah? How do we know someone's identity? What are some of the ways that that we can know who someone is? So I'd like you to take the next 10 minutes to list some of the ways that you know someone's identity. If you want to establish someone's identity, how would you go about it? What are the things that you're looking for? So on and so forth. So take 10 minutes to do that. This time, I'm not going to give you any sort of guided questions through this because you could approach this question in any number of ways. But I'll just touch base with you in about 10 minutes' time. So there you go. Have a go at this. Some of the ways, list some of the ways that you know someone's identity. There we go. So, yes, hopefully you've jotted down some ideas about different ways that we can establish someone's identity. And I'd like you to bring those in your notebook to the first session when we gather together. And so we can talk through some of this together. There are all sorts of ways, aren't there? You know, today, as it happens, my passport's been coming up to, it's going to expire in a couple of months' time. So I needed to get a new passport. So I sent off, and apparently I've had the text message saying that this morning the new one's going to be delivered. So that would be one way of establishing my identity. Here's my passport. You could have a look at my driver's license, something like that. And on both of those, there would be my address. And, you know, sometimes when you have to prove your identity at the bank or something like that, you have to provide some utility bills or something like that, and that kind of thing. So pieces of paper or documents. And nowadays, there are other ways of establishing identity. You know, we use things like our fingerprints for opening up our phones or scanning our faces and things like that, other ways of establishing our identity. Less used perhaps in ordinary everyday, but certainly with our phones, in terms of official ways, but certainly with our phones and things like that, this is becoming part of our everyday ways of establishing our identity. And there are all sorts of other ways of going about it, but those are sort of like isolated things, aren't they? You know, I was like, here's a passport, here's a utility bill. But from those little bits of information, sorry, this might be going off on one, so bear with me. You may have seen the I think it was done about 10, 15 years ago, the Sherlock Holmes with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, yeah? And you'll have those moments where Sherlock is just making all these connections type of thing. And what to the rest of us look like just isolated little bits of information, suddenly he is able to weave into a narrative, into a story. He sees how all these little bits of information connect. And that's really important because we can have those things like a passport, a driver's license, a utility bill, but they capture something in terms of establishing our identity. But who we are, if I were to say, ah, there we go, here's Will's passport. I don't actually have it with me, so I can't show it. But anyway, here's Will's passport, yet to be delivered. Here's Will's passport. So this is who Will is. But does it really capture who I am? It's a pretty horrid photo. I'm, you know, usual type of thing. Is it me? You know, establishing the identity. There's more to the question, isn't there, than just simple documents and things like that. So how we weave these together seems to capture much more of a sense of who we are. Go back a couple of videos earlier in this first session, I talked about how that when I was younger, I was really young, I was supposed to be about 7 or 8 or something, and my brother was much older, he was in his teens and he was eating all this food and I was just, and I told you all that story, and then my mother said, right, okay, I'm having none of this, I'll teach you how to cook, and she taught me how to cook an omelette and everything. Now that little story, because that's what it was, that little story gave you a glimpse into who I am, what it was like for me when I was a kid, told you a little bit about me having siblings, having an older brother, about my mother getting a... It filled out a bit of a picture. And you had, in my telling that little story about me learning how to cook an omelette and everything, and obviously my love of food since and everything, suddenly you have a much clearer idea as to who Will is in that particular regard, over and above the fact that the passport says that Will was born in Oxford and is a citizen of the United Kingdom and so on and so forth. Yeah? Story is really important. And how we shape the story of our lives, how we narrate our story is all sorts of different ways we go about that, and we're going to talk a bit more about that in the next session. But for now, what I want to do is take that notion of story being really critical to how we identify someone, how we really begin to understand what their identity is. Who are they? Story is essential to this. And I want to then take that question and I want to think about that question of story when it comes to God. Who is God? What story would you tell? Yeah. So here's the question. When it comes to the question of who is God, what story would you tell? What I'd like you to do is to have a go at writing it down. Not the entire story, as it were, but as it were, the bare bones of the story. The plot, if you like, of the story. If you were to tell the story of God, what would the plot be? What would be the bare bones of the story? You don't have to go into too much detail, because otherwise it's going to be you're going to need more than 20 minutes. I'm going to give you 20 minutes to do this. So we're looking for the plot, the bare bones, the key points in the story of God. So have a go at telling that and writing that down. Again, we're going to share these different ways of telling the story and different emphases and so on and so forth that we have with them. So, 20 minutes. Go for it. Okay, so let's draw these 20 minutes to a close, and let's just talk about this a little bit in terms of where we've got to. Well, I wonder how you got on with that. When we're learning to think theologically, in a way that's shaped by the tradition, the Christian tradition, when we think of story and of God, we're encouraged to think of the scriptures. And you may have, in these last 20 minutes, mapped out some of the key points in the story of the scriptures that you're familiar with and that are important in the way that you see them flowing from one event to another, making a cohesive kind of whole. We talked a little bit about the with these different sources, and as I say, you've got scripture, tradition, reason, experience, worship. Scripture is important, very important. You may have told the story in ways that are sort of adjacent to the scriptures, depending on your familiarity with them. There may have been parts where you're weaving in different elements, so on and so forth. It'll be interesting to share these stories, these plot outlines, as it were, when we gather together in person. But as I say, in the tradition, scripture is accorded preeminent authority with this. So it's one of the reasons why is with this angle of who is God. One of the reasons why scripture is so important is because one of the things it's doing is telling the story of God. It's telling God's story. So I am with that in mind. Now this you may have thought those last 20 minutes is just like, oh my word, but I hope you enjoyed doing it. But the next question, the next thing I'd like you to do is with that sort of plot line, and you took 20 minutes and there was this and there was that and then this happened and then that led to this and so on and so forth, and you're sort of sketching out the plot of the story of God to give a sense of who is God. Well, if we're to speak of God, then this is the story we tell, type of thing. In sort of bare bones kind of outline. Think about this question. How would you summarize God's story in a single sentence? You've mapped out that story over 20 minutes or so, the key plot line moments of the plot, the bare bones of it, as it were. How would you summarize God's story in a single sentence? Okay, I'm going to give you 15 minutes to have a go at this. And again, when we gather together, then we're going to share our different one sentence summaries, as it were, of the story of God. Okay, so 15 minutes, and then we'll carry on. Okay, let's close that slide and then we can carry on talking about this. So I wonder how you got on with that. It's a tricky exercise, isn't it? I wonder what your single sentence summary was. Lots of different ways you could do this. And it would be interesting because I wonder if some of you have gone to, well, there's a particular verse, as it were, like, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and so on. So it might be that, oh, no, I can encapsulate, I can summarize the whole of God's story with this one verse. Or the question then becomes, with whatever the single sentence summaries that we've gone for. One of the things that is, you remember that I was talking about, when I was talking about scripture being the key authority for us and the key source for us when we're doing our theological thinking and explorations and learning to live theologically and so on, that it's not just the New Testament, it's also the Old Testament. So how does our single sentence summary, which hasn't turned into like a mini paragraph, because that's also the other temptation, is that you begin to go like, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and you have a very long sentence. No. How does our single short sentence, perhaps I should have clarified that, but anyway, don't worry. How does it include, encompass, as it were, both, not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well, the entire sweep of the way that the scriptures hold that story together? It's quite a challenge. So, okay, so I'm going to draw this third video to a close here, because in the next video, I'm going to introduce you to a single sentence summary by a theologian called Robert Jensen. And yeah, we're going to look at that sentence in some detail. But there we go. That's the third video wrapped up. And this will have taken about an hour or something of your time as you've engaged with the exercises and what have you. So if you want to take a break, stretch, you know, move about, as I say, have a cup of tea, what have you, and even just take a few days, just depending on how you are going through this material in advance of the tutorial, of the seminar when we meet, you might want to say, okay, that's quite a bit to take on board. We've been thinking about identity in all its different forms. We've been thinking about story. We've been so on and so forth. And then thinking about the story of the scriptures, and as God's story, rather than thinking about how we would summarize that story and then put it into a single. We've covered a lot of ground in this last hour. So you may want to let this bed down, marinate, whichever metaphor you want to go with. And then when you're ready, start the fourth and final video for this session one of Exploring Theology.